Interview with Stuart, S-T-U-A-R-T, Long, L-O-N-G, President of Long News Service, Austin, Texas, December 9th, 1974. Gap of several minutes to follow. Stand by to pick up.
Do you accept the version that the birth of the modern Republican Party in Texas began when Alan Shivers endorsed Eisenhower, and Eisenhower carried Texas?
No, not at all. That blunted the possibility of Jack Porter developing a party in Texas, because Eisenhower always looked to Shivers rather than to the Republicans with patronage and everything else. So, I guess actually the election of John Tower as senator was the first Republican accomplishment. And it was because it was a special election, but the Democrat in the runoff was Bill Blakely, probably the only man in history that ever held two Senate seats from the same state, both Senate seats. Ran for both of them and didn't win either one. He was appointed twice. Hmm. Once to replace Price Daniel, appointed by Shivers, and then appointed by Daniel to replace Lyndon Johnson. And he ran for both of them and got beat both of them. Once by Ralph Yarber, once by John Tower. So he's a... But actually, the election of John Tower was what put something into the Republican Party.
What did they do in the last election, Pete?
Well, they lost one of their four congressional seats and two of their 17 House seats. Had the weakest governor's race they've had in a long time.
How about the state Senate? What do they have, three seats?
Three, and they just had one of them up and barely retained it by 500 votes. The other two had drawn a bye. So they redistricting, you know, they got 4-year terms.
Did the switch of Connally have any effect at all in the Republican Party in Texas in terms of bringing any Democrats over?
No, it didn't.
Was that viewed as a surprise, a disappointment, or was the Republicans and the Connally, or was that expected by them? I mean, did they anticipate? You know, a year ago, Republicans were talking all over the South about realignment.
No, they thought Connally would just bring droves of conservative Democrats over. But what they forgot was that Connally was the guy who reestablished party loyalty in Texas and made it fashionable. And after Shivers had made party infidelity fashionable. And so nobody went except the defeated Speaker of the House, who's the only big name in politics that joined the Republican Party.
Did he bring any money into the party?
Yeah, he was able to raise some money for Bob Price. He raised $100,000 for Bob Price in a banquet up at Pampa, and Price got beat 60-40 in spite of that. And he raised $100,000 for the state party at a $100 dinner in Dallas this year. But well, it's really hard to really estimate Connally's why nobody followed him, except he was getting in trouble all the time. You know, at the time he switched over, and he almost immediately began to the $10,000, which most of us can't believe is that little. It's way below his usual asking price. So people didn't want to get involved with him, and Watergate came along, and therefore his impact was...
What was that $10,000? That was that AMPI money?
Yeah. Which he claimed he put in a safe deposit box. A smart young FBI man looked at the serial numbers and found the bills hadn't been issued when he said it was put in the safe deposit box. So they exchanged. change some other bills, and some of them hadn't been issued either.
What's the status of that situation?
Set for trial in March in Washington on perjury and bribery. And
but it was an indictment, wasn't it?
Yeah, 5 counts. And Jake Jacobson, the guy who took him the money, has turned state's evidence in return for dismissing some indictments against him. And then federal judge in Dallas refused to grant the Justice Department's motion to dismiss the indictment on Jacobson on an effort to loot a savings and loan association. And that's, of course, being appealed by the Justice Department, which wants to drop the cases. Edward does that. And obviously, Jacobson made a deal to testify that he gave the money to come in. The Justice Department, or the prosecutors, not the real Justice Department.
Is he finished in Texas politics?
Texas and national. Even if he's acquitted, guy doesn't stay big league after that.
What is Towers' role in the Republican Party?
He's it. He is the party.
I mean, is he the party in terms of decision making, in terms of policy?
Yeah, he
strategy.
He pretty well dominates it. He was able to prevent them from giving wholehearted support to Hank Grover, their nominee in 72 against Doc Briscoe for governor. And if they'd really torn their shirt for Hank, they would have won, because he just lost by 99,000 votes. This time they had a candidate that Tower approved, but he was an unknown. I'm way behind. Of course, this is an unpredictable year. Nobody knew what 74 was going to bring.
Well, in Neil Pierce's book, he quoted, I think it was Nancy Palm, but anyway, in effect, holding Tower responsible for not making full challenges across the board, both congressional and legislative races. And that some critics of him claimed that Republicans missed the chance to really establish themselves because of
in 72.
Right. Do you agree with that assessment?
Well, he won a hell of a lot. But you just can't, here you got a party that's a minority. They got 500,000 people on their mailing list, people they think are Republicans. In a state with over 5 million registered voters. And they didn't have anybody to be enthusiastic about this time. Because your enthusiasts in the Republican Party are the Birchers, the Nancy Palms. She represents the far right wing that was never happy with Nixon. They were just burning. Goldwater was the nominee and working like heck. And if you look at the 64 results, considering he's running against the Texan, Goldwater ran awful damn good in Texas. So as always, your enthusiasts in politics are your radicals. concentrate on a few races and not spread themselves too thin, which is probably a wise policy. 72, well, of course, in 72, they were concentrating on his race. And that's certainly why he didn't want a bunch of other people running, getting money that he needed.
In other words, if he had challenges across the board, it would have brought a lot more Democratic vote. And that would be the presumption.
You challenge a county judge, you're going to get out the Democratic judges' votes and a lot of others, constable and sheriffs and legislators. But mainly your danger of the theory of the overrunning candidates across the board is the courthouse. On those local candidates, you're going to get hurt.
Do you see a political future for Ben Barnes?
He doesn't. He thinks he's through and intends to be through. And has known. He was probably the finest politician this state's ever had. Made a bad mistake by not running for the Senate in 72 instead of governor. And if he'd been the nominee against Tower, he probably would have beaten him. It's hard to tell, but he wouldn't have had the hard primary. Georgetown, and we had our Watergate 2 years early in Texas.
In your own assessment, is that permanently damaging to Barnes if he should decide to re-enter politics?
No. No, he's... He now lives in Bob Pogue's congressional district. And if he ever re-enters politics, I think it would be in the House when Pogue quits. And what's Pogue, 72? In his 70s. It's a natural district for Barnes. He could win it. And if he should ever re-enter, I think he really belonged in the federal. He should have run for the Senate in 72. But he had the problem of Ralph Yarborough, which has been the problem of every progressive in Texas for the last 24 years. Decided he ought to run for governor instead of the Senate and the possibility of losing his liberal support by being in a race against Yarborough. Of course, Yarborough never said whether he was going to run or not until the filing deadline in February. And in his off years in the Senate, he always was running for governor up to the filing deadline. Backed out. And it was too late for any other liberal to run. Incidentally, I hope I contributed to Teddy Kennedy's decision. I was interviewing him in August, and he said he was going to decide in mid or late 75 whether he'd run. And I said, "You fixing to be the Ralph Yarborough of the United States?" He said, "What do you mean?" And I told him this story about how Yarborough prevented any liberal candidates for governor being serious candidates because he always talked like he might run for governor in his off years right up to the filing deadline. And it was too late for anybody else to run. Kennedy said, "I don't see how that would hurt." I said, "Well, people are not going to get committed to Mondale or Udall or any of the other liberal candidates as long as you're saying you may run. And you'll make up your mind." I was supposed to be interviewing him, but I got to lecture him because this was the week Bob Sherrill's piece had come out and week after in the New York Times. It was so devastating, and of course Boston was working on it, and Ladies Home Journal had one, and Cosmopolitan, I think, two or three women's magazines, just real strong indictments of him on Chappaquiddick. And then I was interested to see where he said he thought he ought to say now he wasn't going to run so others would have an opportunity. But that's what Ralph Yarbrough's done to the liberal opportunities in Texas, which Don Yarbrough and all the others, Barenthal, they always had to wait for him to say. And you always wait till the last minute.
Did you view that as just him being really interested and then deciding against it at the last moment, or a ploy to keep other liberals from running?
I don't know. Well, of course, no question, Yarbrough always wanted to be governor. He ran three times and lost twice very narrowly. Lost by 3,100 votes. So, and of course it was always his enemies. The Dallas News always started the story that he might run.
Which is the way they ought to feel. I'm not conscious I have
now. The Senate. I don't know. You can't.
They've always
can't analyze
that.
Successful politicians, there's no way to really understand.
You know, the only thing that caused all this trouble is
what makes a guy do
when I grabbed it.
Like
Larry Jane that night, and
it's a trial.
I must have hit this side of it right against her cheek.
That's the jury. The judge.
Sort of grabbed her and held her, and I was
saying, "These boys did this
and
premeditatedly."
I felt it hit over there.
I don't know what you're going to do.
Against my nose.
Or why you do what you did.
It hurt.
And there's nobody harder to cycle.
I didn't want to go for it until later.
Hyped-up politician like Yarbrough or any United States.
I don't know if
anybody gets to that level. Special kind of guy with a special kind of genes, I guess. So I can't try to read their minds why they do these things. Self-centered. You have to be to get to be a United States Senator or a governor.
In the 25 years from 1948 through 74, what are the major changes you've seen in Texas politics?
Well,
I'll tell you what, the conservatives now call themselves Republicans instead of Democrats.
Some of them do. Some of them knew because you remember in 48, Truman beat Dewey, 3-1, 750,000 to 200,000 in Texas. Now the conservatives now consider themselves independents after the Democratic primary. That's a big change. Many people that in 48 just automatically voted the Democratic ticket in November. choosy.
Well, it's a national trend. The individual votes, they're voting for the individual and not the party. The man and not the party. You hear it over and over.
Actually, the party as such is perhaps better organized, at least better financed, both parties in Texas, than they've ever been. Golly, 48 and 50. I think the State Democratic Committee had raised about $5,000, maybe 10. Didn't have an office, didn't have a full-time staff member. Now they've got over $100,000 budget. The Republican Party's got a $500,000 budget, 74. State Party. The Republican Party was run out of somebody's hip pocket back in those days.
What did the Republicans do with that money?
I don't know. Their final report, if it's been filed, it's been filed this week. They put a little bit in campaigns, but not much, but they did. They did raise over $500,000 this year. And I simply do not know what they did.
Yeah, I think they spent some of it on La Raza.
Well, we were never able to prove they were subsidizing La Raza in 72. Some of the guys who still owe notes for the La Raza UNITA party in 72 claim they were promised money by the Republicans, but when they wouldn't run a national ticket, and they hadn't convention in El Paso and decided not to run a national ticket, which would have splintered off some Mexican Americans from what's that fellow's name? McGovern. But we tried awful hard to establish that the Republicans were subsidizing them and hadn't been able to really find where they were doing. Now they used to subsidize, Tower used to subsidize some liberal Democrats, so-called liberal Democrats, to be for Tower against the conservative Democratic nominee. No question. If they were, they may have been promising La Raza, or some of the guys were hoping they'd get Republican money. But
what's the role of organized labor
in the Democratic Party?
Right, and in Texas politics in general.
Strong Democratic.
And stronger than it's ever been. Has been able in the Briscoe to form liaisons with Dolph Briscoe, the first governor. They've been able to, well, they supported Price Daniel for his third term. And that's the only governor's race they've won until Briscoe.
And what has Briscoe done for them?
He's appointed their people on boards and has met with them and listened to them in conventions. And in the convention leading up to the Kansas City mini convention, he had a strong liaison with the AFL-CIO. Didn't have as strong in 72, but he he's all, he's listened to them, let them in the house. In contrast to Conley, who hated them, and they had nothing to do with them. Shivers, who hated them also.
In addition to appointments, has he done anything in so far as promotion of substantive legislation?
Briscoe hadn't done anything in promotion of substantive legislation in any field. We don't know what he's going to be like this term. Now he's got 4 years, but he's the least active governor that we've had, or was during his first 2 years.
They lengthened the term.
Yeah, this time they were elected for 4 years.
Is there any limit on that?
No. You know, people voted for it, much to my surprise. Sure enough, that's what we got now.
Say he's the least active of the governors that you've known?
Yeah. See, the governor.
How do you rate the other governors?
Well, the governors of Texas are constitutionally figureheads because we're under this 1876 Constitution that was written in resistance to strong executive power after we'd had 4 years of the last Republican governor. And the governor's only influence or impact on state government is what he will do personally to influence legislators. And of course, with our 2-year terms, a guy was in office 4 years before he got a majority on these overlapping 6-year term boards, which are the policy making boards in state government.
You
have
that drink?
Mm-hmm.
That's my whiskey.
All right. So the governor's influence, as we told in this book, is on how he'll work with legislators to get them to do things.
Yeah.
And Conley was a failure because he didn't work at it. Briscoe has failed to work at it. Shivers, Daniel worked at it and had a lot of impact on legislation.
Shivers had a great impact.
Oh, sure, Shivers led him around really dominated the legislature and got nearly everything he ever wanted. But he knew how. Briscoe, who was a legislator at the time and was fighting Shivers. Briscoe was one of the young liberal GI legislators that defeated Shivers on his only big fight that he ever lost was Farm Market Roads. Has not done what he knows should be done dominate legislation there. There's some hope or some indication that during this 4-year term, he doesn't have to.
Who's hoping? I'm not. I hope he does just what he did this last 2 years.
He may. He may.
If he does anything, it'll be the wrong thing, in my opinion.
Well, he's kind of a mixed up guy because of this background back when he was young, fighting the establishment. Now he's been president of Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers and president of the South Texas Chamber of Commerce and the Texas Chamber of Commerce. He's now a big banker and worth $40 million or less.
conservative, Ryan is conservative, moderate.
Big issue in the next session, of course, is going to be number one on utility regulation, particularly the telephone company, and on reform of the property tax. Well, the biggest individual landowner in Texas is Dolph Prisco. King Ranch has a little more land and acres. But it's a corporation. And is he really going to be for reform of property tax?
What is it about the property tax that needs reform? Is it a lack of uniform assessments?
Yeah. We've got 31 negative tax assessments.
Okay.
School district, water district, county, city, everything else. And as a result, you'll have $100 worth of property in one area paying 7 cents in taxes a year, and then another area will be paying $1.25. I mean, a real market value, $100. And this is what we need under the Supreme Court's lousy decision where they said, you don't have to, but you ought to.
That was a Rodriguez case.
Yeah. You don't have to, but you ought to. That's what they said. And this is the only way you're going to have equal education is by making everybody try equally and then supplementing state funds. And of course, it's a golden opportunity to do it with $1.5 billion surplus inside. It's a golden opportunity to really equalize.
But you're saying Prisco really has had no substantive programs?
Mm-hmm. Nothing. They were ready to go on some kind of school tax reform last session. And Rodriguez came down in March, wasn't it? February, March, 73. And Prisco said, let's study it some more. Well, they had 5 studies. Conley had a great study that proved just exactly what everybody's been saying. Great study on school tax, which he couldn't put over in the legislature because by then he lost his interest. He wasn't interested. He had several cents. All of which say the thing to do is to have statewide equalization. Prisco has had a guy studying things, now having 60 public hearings on his plan, which is a way of changing the formula for allocating the state money. It doesn't really get at the real basic thing, which is the property. Way of equalizing.
Which of the governors in that period do you think have done more for Texas? You obviously rate Prisco as a caretaker kind of a governor. Who really developed the programs and got it to the legislature?
The things that just happened, most of them have happened because of federal legislation, which enforced massive new programs in order to keep them eligible for federal aid. And that's a Lyndon Johnson did more for state government in Texas than any governor did, but this great society for them. Because this forced in welfare and health. Everything, big education particularly, big expansion of state spending for their matching fund. You can't believe how the state budget's going up. And really the only way to measure state government activity is its spending. You got any better way?
You say you've got a billion and a half surplus from
state? Say 581 million August 31st. And if assuming inflation continues and our sales tax continues to rise, inflation without depression, I'd say. See, we'll be appropriating next year for the 2 years starting September 1, '75. So they're figuring $500 million each one of the coming years. What's this $500 million?
They have a two-year budget.
Two-year budget.
They don't meet annually?
No.
You must be one of the few states left that doesn't meet annually.
Yeah, I think so. We've had a few occasions where annual budgets have been adopted more or less accidentally. And Governor Smith once vetoed the second year appropriation because they didn't have the money to do it. Way back as far as Chester in 49, he vetoed part of the second year appropriation. Forced a special session to raise the money to finance the second year. And we got into a bind about tax
payment. Am I correct? There's still no state income tax, either personal or corporate.
And it's a funny footnote on. I was talking to some people from Louisiana from Baton Rouge on this cruise we've been on. They were saying about how their income from oil and gas tax had gone down. Of course, ours is done, even though production's gone down. Louisiana has a cents per barrel and cents per MCF on oil and gas. So they don't have the advantage income-wise, when the price goes up. Ours is a percentage, 4.8% of wellhead price on oil, 7.5% of wellhead price on gas. So when the average price of gas goes up from 20 cents to 15 cents to 60 cents, you triple your gas tax income. When oil goes up $3.40 a barrel to $10. You're tripling your oil tax, and that's where most of the surplus has come on, plus the 4% sales tax with inflated prices, which is based on retail price. Our sales tax exempts food, feed, fertilizer, and farm equipment, which indicates our agrarian background. If we had on fertilizer, the way that price had gone up, we'd have a hell of an income.
But you think the big increase in state services and spending was principally because of the federal grant and the Manchin provisions of federal grant made it? Were any of the governors known as road governors or education governors or have any special interests like that in that period?
Yeah, they've all been education governors. And our education budgets have just gone up tremendously.
Oh.
$50 a kid, and, or maybe 60 in 48, 600 now, 10 for your State Teachers Association has been a big influence in legislative activity on education. Conley, while he fought the Teachers Association, did have a massive impact on higher education. He was very sold on that. But he got it. Our college and university system is quintuple in the last 15 years. Easily. And this was Conley's main accomplishment. He got people aware of the needs of higher education. But he was ahead of tried to get something going on secondary. Study made and it showed something ought to be done, and tax reform wise, just exactly.
Oh, you want that right?
Their biggest case showed. But he lost interest in one day. And then we did. Ben Barnes was governor for 4 years. Put out the programs and put them over the federal matching program. Well, Conley was dead.
Does Price Daniel Jr. have a political future?